Finding is the rain.
There is nothing like a night when the lightning just lights up the sky from horizon to horizon, and the rain's pouring, and the aroma of the wet creosote, and just sit out and just enjoy it.
It's fun to watch that thermometer drop, for sure.
What's the word you're hearing from around the state? I've heard from friends in Yavapai County say they've got a couple good rains. Tucson's had a couple good rains. I think Casa Grande got sprinkled on once.
Well, they said Flagstaff was getting it.
It was, were they? Good.
Yesterday.
Okay.
They finally, Christopher Creek finally got, they got 56 hundredths yesterday, which I think is the first decent rain they've had right there, but Heber had had two or three.
Good.
So I think it's been, it just haven't had that statewide occurrence yet, but it's been here and there, there's been some.
Roma, you were talking about lightning. I was on a weather station website earlier looking at those shots that they took of the sun. Did you see that?
Mm-hmm.
Some satellite is halfway between us and the sun right now. And the images were absolutely incredible. But in that article, the National Weather Association just recently certified the longest lightning bolt strike ever. How long do you think the longest bolt of lightning?
122 miles.
Okay. All right. It was 400 miles long.
Holy cow.
And it was in South America, and it was like 6 years ago. But they just now verified it, that yes, it was one bolt. I don't know how they're doing. But one lightning bolt, 400 miles long.
So that's does incredible. That change the way we count, like 1-1-1?
Yeah, I was just thinking the same thing. It's like, yeah, or you know, that wait until the last minute to get off the lake with that.
Oh boy!
Fishing pole in your hand, you know.
Oh man!
It's already too late in that case.
I had to reread the article a couple times. I thought, man, was this a misprint?
Wow!
How do you research a lightning bolt 6 years old?
I don't know. It's got to be satellite images, you know, radar satellite images or something. But it was certified.
Well, when the rain.
What government program is paying for that?
Hopefully the South American, but
yeah.
Anyway, when they do come, what can we do ahead of time just to make sure our landscape and our yard strapped down, chairs, umbrellas, well, thin trees.
Yeah, put your umbrellas down every evening, that's for sure. I have a friend that's in Oklahoma that he showed a picture in his backyard, and he had a trampoline, you know, with that had the safety net around it. And he says, those of you that know me know my kids are all grown up and gone away. And we always wanted to buy him a trampoline, but this came a little late. And he goes, and actually, this was my neighbor's. It blew over the fence.
Wow.
So put the umbrellas down. Make sure the trampolines are strapped down. Besides that, as far as your trees go, make sure if you've got large trees that can be susceptible to breaking in those storms, make sure they've been pruned properly. If you're not sure what that means, you know, it might be a good time to have a certified arborist come out and take a look and see what, if anything, can be done. But precarious limbs that are coming out very flat off of a tree, can be sometimes prone to breaking off. Thinning them a little bit, allowing them, you know, a little more air so you don't have a sail effect. Getting them broken. If you've got young trees, make sure they're properly staked. And what we mean by that is typically we want the tree to be double staked. So tree in the middle, a stake on either side, not touching the tree, space between the stake and the tree, tied as loosely as you can just to keep the tree straight between the stakes so that it allows them to move and flex and get stronger. We touched on watering, but mulching around our trees, anything, shrubs, everything this time of year will help them withstand, you know, periods of severe hot weather. Painting trunks of thin-skinned or skin-type, barkless-type trees like ash and ficus and citrus, you know, with a protective tree trunk paint, or wrap them with cardboard or something like that to keep trunks of young, tender trees from sunburning is also a great idea. And again, going back to the irrigation system, make sure it's working properly, that it's putting water only where it's intended to be put, and make sure it's putting the right amounts on.
And then measuring fall distances, you know, if a tree did fall, making sure that you've, and obviously if your house is in that fall radius, you can't really move the house, but
right.
Making sure that, you know, everything's out of the way if you've got something that is at risk or an older tree that you're worried about.
Yeah, where you park your car. For sure. You know, the other thing on is, you know, a lot of the controllers, sprinkler irrigation controllers, have a backup battery in them. If we do lose power during the monsoon, you know, it's time to change. And maybe this goes for a lot of things in your house, but a good time to check your, if you need backup battery power, this is when we're, if we're ever going to lose a little power for a time, this might be it. So make sure you're in good shape there.
We had a little one this week already. We never noticed it, other than all the clocks just were reset to
blinking.
So it wasn't long enough to notice anything, but we had a little hiccup earlier this month or this week. Now, on the monsoons, and we talked about it last week a little bit with Eisenhower when we were talking trees, and I didn't get into it, but what is the etiquette on telling a neighbor, you know, you're killing this tree? I've got a neighbor, and I pass by his house. I have to pass by his house every day, and he's got this nice mesquite, nice canopy.
Mm-hmm.
He's got his irrigation heads. There's no drip emitter. Like when the irrigation's on, the water's just pouring out, which is okay, I guess. But they're all right at the trunk,
mm-hmm.
on the base. They're not out on. I'm like, you're not developing your roots. You're soaking it. As soon as a wind's going to hit, this thing's going to topple over. Spread that irrigation out. How's the right way to knock on his door and say, can I help you or with your trees a little bit?
How well do you know him? I guess that's the...
Seen him on his tractor once. That's it. They're never outside. I don't...
I'm not sure I have an answer for that. Drop off if you... Take one of those little AMWA landscape watering by the number booklets.
And just leave it on his doorstep.
And just leave it on his doorstep.
I hope he reads it.
Yeah.
Oh, man, it's a shame, but it's amazing just how much you see that. You know, you get a plant, you start a tree, you put the irrigation closed because the roots are, and it never gets moved out with the canopy growth.
Yeah, I used to be amazed at how many people didn't even know where their irrigation controller was. Yeah, they would call, hey, I've got a leak. My water's, you know, my irrigation's running. Well, where can you go shut off your controller?
Where's that?
What's that? Where's that? Oh, boy. It's so once it's in and programmed, 30 years, it hasn't been changed, you know, whatever. So, yeah, it's an item that I don't know how we get around to it, but until there's a situation where we are forced to either ration water or be in a situation where people have to start thinking more seriously about their irrigating their plants, that, you know, we're not going to overcome.
Well, let's talk about something happy. When all of this is over, well, we got two, three more weeks of this extreme heat, and then we're going to get into this point we can start working on our fall garden.
Yeah, we're getting close. You know, we're into what, mid-July, 17th, 18th?
Yeah. Can you already? Believe it?
Yeah. It is hard to believe. And so, you know, August is just right around the corner. And we start looking at the list of things you can start planting. You know, there's not a whole lot in July, obviously. Pumpkins, if you want to have a jack-o'-lantern-sized pumpkin by Halloween, July is probably about right now to do it. But as we get closer to and into August, there's a few more things we can start planting. But once September hits, and man, it's, you know, it's Katie bar the door as far as fall vegetables and growing. So if you've noticed, you know, it's kind of far away from us as we live in the urban city, but all of the areas out in agriculture right now are prepping their fields for fall crops. They're putting compost on. They're tilling their compost in. They're cultivating. They're leveling. They're getting ready, so that when that magic day hits, they're ready. They can boom. They can plant, and they take a lot of time and effort to do it right. And it's hot, and they're using big equipment, and they're driving around in air conditioned cabs or tractors
with stereos.
Yeah. And probably with GPSs, they're probably just really the fact that they're in the tractor is just in case something goes wrong. But not in all cases. But anyway, as a home gardener, you know, it's not something like maybe you want to be out there for 6 or 8 or 10 hours at a time right now. But if you could go out and start, you know, pulling the dead stuff and, turning in a little compost, and you can do that over the next 30 days for 10 or 15 or 20 minutes or a half hour here or 20 minutes there. By the time that mid-August or Labor Day weekend rolls around, which will be on us in just a little over a month, you're ready to go. So lots of compost. Just if you didn't do anything right now, but just go get compost and turn it into your garden and keep that garden turned and keep it weed-free and ready to go, you'd be in good shape. So it's not far away. Take it in little bites at a time, and you'll do a better job.